7:24 a.m. on April 5th. It's a chilly morning. It's 38. It feels a little cooler. The knee is holding up. There's a bit of tenderness in the side, but it's holding up quite well. And getting out and walking is probably one of the better things I could do for it. So, yeah, feels good to be moving. Feels good to be walking. It feels good to have that story done. I don't think the last time I talked to you, I don't think I had the rewrite done. And I don't remember what I said about it, so forgive me if I repeat. But I think it bears repeating because it underscores something that I learned last week at the workshop. Don't rewrite. That's Dean's advice. Don't rewrite. And to be clear, what he's saying is, don't mess with the story. Once you get the story down, don't mess with it. The story is the story is the story. If the story doesn't work, don't try to fix it. Make it back up and make another run at it. Don't rewrite the story you have. Write a different story. Or find the nugget in what you've written that is the story and write that. But write from scratch. That was valuable. Terrifically valuable advice. At the time, I'm thinking, yeah, that's going to happen, sure. But with the story that I'm doing for JR, the Half Blaster Will Travel one, I tweeted about the Kickstarter campaign. That's just started in the last couple of days. Actually started, I think, while I was in Oregon. And so that's the Kickstarter's out there. For a buck, they'll send you an EPUB of the story that I'm including in the anthology, which is kind of cool. I'm honored that they picked my story out to be one of the Kickstarter rewards. I may have to kick in myself. Good morning. I may have to kick in myself just so I can get a copy of the book in paper. Because it looks like it's going to be fun. It looks like it's going to be a good story. But back to the Bulldog story, back to the story. I realized that I really didn't know what the story was. When I was writing it all of time, if I'd only known then what I know now. I wouldn't have been through the process and I wouldn't have learned what I learned. So I really can't complain too much about that. At any rate, the story, I really tried to shoehorn too much gangster into it for the assignment in Oregon. And when I did, it broke a story. It just broke it. It wasn't anything cool at all. And I understand what Dean was saying about walking to the story and spending a lot of time tying up the reader, but not actually getting to the story. The story, I'm trying to think of the log line for it. The story is about a guy who's trying to save his ship by making a high-risk run and the adventure he has while on this run. And the title was a bonus, but now it's Snake in the Rocks. Because that's what it's about. It's about the snake in the rocks and about what they do to survive the snake. They don't actually beat it. Although the snake in the rocks has dual meaning. There are two snakes, one of which they don't beat, the other which they don't even see, although they do hear about. So this, oddly enough, there's the opportunity for a sequel here. Because I've set up a situation that hasn't been resolved. It's not significant to the plot, because the plot is how does this ship get through an asteroid shell? Not just a band, but a shell. They have to go through the Nagorian shell to get the Mining Emporium and deliver a data chip. A data chip which comes from one of the underbosses and contains, as nearly as I can tell, money. So it was a good deal of fun. They found pirates, vicious pirates, nasty pirates, pirates who blew up a ship. They crashed on an asteroid and had to cobble the ship back together. It was filled with derring do, done dirt cheap. No, well, something like that. Anyway, when I get to the end of the story, it's like, yes, okay. It was originally 8,000 words. When I passed it in at the workshop, it was 7,000 words. When I just turned over the latest draft this morning to JR, it was 7,500 words. I sent her a draft yesterday that was like 7,000 words. And it was okay. It was a good draft. I liked it. But she came back almost immediately with, you know, they spend most of the time in the bridge of the ship, and I really, you know, I read it quickly, but I don't have a good feel for what the bridge looks like. I don't have a good feel for what the bridge layout is. I'd like to see that more. And the leader, the captain of the ship, Captain Roland Marks, I have no idea what he is. There's no sight of him. There's no vision of him. There's no view of him other than his dialogue. And I went back through and realized that she's right. It wasn't. I didn't. All the stuff I learned last week about characterization, about grounding the reader, about starting off in a place where the reader can understand what's going on immediately and be drawn into the action, even while you're telling them where they're sitting, what they're looking at, and why it's significant. And it was like, oh, for crying out loud. And this is after I'd gone through and started this story thinking, oh, I've done so much better. And I did. It really was. But comparing yesterday's draft to today's draft is like, oh, yeah. Yeah, uh-huh, okay. Yep. So I added 400 words. And I think it works much better. I really think it works much better. So thanks to JR for being a good editor and pointing out what the problems were with the front end of that story. It seemed like it started a little flat. I couldn't quite, it's like, what's wrong? But she put her finger on it, so that was good. But my goodness, what a difference in the writing comparing the draft before I went to the workshop and the draft after the workshop. Basically the same story. Basically the same kernel of an idea of going through the shell and what they discover there and the world dressing that occurs on the periphery of the story of survival. Oh, that might be the log line. Adrift on a rock in an asteroid belt, will they survive to deliver their cargo? Well, I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, I have to check my contract because I don't think I could publish it on my own, at least not at first. So we'll have to see how that works out. I suspect I could probably podcast it. I did the podcast and then made that available to them for their promotional purposes. That would be good. Good morning. Good morning to you. So that could be some fun. I've got to get some other stuff done, though. I've got to get the real work done. Looking back over the to-do list of things I didn't get done before I left, the story for Tony's Tales to Terrify podcast, I've got to get that edited. It's recorded already. I just got two scripts from Dan Sawyer due May 1st, and I still want to get Zephyr's Call done this month, which means today's Wednesday. I really need to have that first full draft of Zephyr's Call done by Saturday, Sunday, sometime this weekend. And I'm losing evenings this week. No, today's Thursday, it's not Wednesday. What am I thinking? Yesterday was Wednesday. I'm losing the evenings this week to my younger daughter's school play. Yeah, well, the opening night was last night. It was quite charming. Good morning. It was quite a charming play. Enjoyed it a great deal. They have a chronic issue with their sound in all the productions at the middle school, and that's that they have a recorded soundtrack for the instrumental music that goes along with this play, and the instrumental music is too loud. So it's difficult to hear the singers over the background music, which makes it very difficult to follow or even hear. Now, a couple of singers know enough to sing out, and their voices will get carried over the background, but most of them sing in very tiny voices, and it's very difficult to hear them. So it's kind of a pain in the butt. But my younger daughter has, they're doing Into the Woods, and my younger daughter has the Bernadette Peters role of the Wicked Witch, and she does the Greens song early in the play, and it's just hysterically funny. And she does it, last night she did it without a hiccup. It was perfect. I just had to admire the way she was able to rattle those words off. She must have been practicing a lot, but I haven't heard it. Then later in the play, there's a very sweet song about the witch and her daughter, Rapunzel. And it was very touching. It was easy for me to forget that was my daughter singing and just be carried away by the song and by the emotion that she was showing on the stage through her singing and through her acting. It boggles me sometimes to think that this is the same girl, it's the same 13-year-old who writes beautifully nuanced stories about young adults. And she hasn't shown me anything she's written for a long time, so I've got to either... what I've got to do is get her to show me some stuff, and perhaps I can talk to her a little bit about technique, because she's amazing. And not just because she's my kid. Well, I suppose it's hard for me to differentiate those, to separate out the two factors. Still quite amazing. Oh. So I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to do that section today. I really want to work on the first act of Zephyr's Call, get that. At least, I have an idea of where it wants to go, and I really think what I need to do is write and not worry about what that idea might be. I wrote a beginning chapter. I wrote a new first chapter for it some time ago. I have to see if I can resurrect that. At this point, I'm not even sure where I wrote it. That's one of the problems. I've changed computers around. I've rebuilt the walking desk. I need to get back on the walking desk and start grinding out some stuff over there. I've got everything backed up onto a jump drive. I need to plug that jump drive in on that machine and load it up. The problem is that the desktop unit that I plugged in over there is not up to date. What I really need to do is to get it loaded to the network, get it updated so it's got the correct current versions of tools and stuff on it. So I'm not constantly flailing and saying, oh, yeah, wrong version. This function is over here now. Let's see how that goes. Wow. I warmed up. It's not a cold morning. I think I said that before. 38. It isn't terribly cold, but I did put on my fleece hood. I did put on my parka. I'm wearing a sweater. I'm dressed for 20. After the sleet the other morning, walking in the cold and the rain in Oregon, I was feeling the pinch a little bit. So this is good. Chirp, 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 chirp. trees all blossomed out, trees with leaves on them. Some trees looking still quite dead. I don't know if they're just late to the party or if they didn't survive the winter. Almost all the trees have either a blush of green or pink or something at the tips. These trees just look black. Oh, I guess there's stuff. That tree has little budlets on it. This one does too. So I guess it's just a question of timing. April 5th. Fishing season's open in Maine. It's probably open here too. It's probably been open here for a month. I probably won't have to wear the parka too many more days. Yikes. I'm walking directly into the sun again, shining full in my face. And while on one hand it feels pretty good, on the other hand, I'll zip my coat because it's getting too warm. Okay. Car coming. Is he stopping back there? Nobody coming that direction. Across the street. So I'm going to have two sick people home again today. Wife is making noises like she's not going to go to work. My elder daughter has decided she's going to stay home. She sounds like crap. She's got some sort of lung crud going on. My wife is thinking she needs to go to the doctor, so if the wife stays home, that'll work out quite well because they can both go. I'll take care of that. I'll be able to write, get this audio editing task off my plate, print out the scripts I needed. Well, I won't print them out. I'll put them on my Nook for Sawyer. Get some editing done on Captain's Chair. With any luck, I'll actually see some editing back from Ryden. I've got a book I've got to sign and get out today. Maybe I can do that when I get back so that when I take younger daughter to school, I can drop it in the mailbox on the way through. Save a trip. Need to find something to fix for dinner that's going to be something I can fix early in the day to have on time so that when younger daughter gets home on the bus, she can eat her dinner. I'll put her back in the car, take her back to school, cast calls at 5:30. Trudge, 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 trudge. Off we go. Interesting sounding plane going by. Thought it was a crop duster, but it doesn't appear to be. Oh yeah, trees are in full blossom right now. Beauty. I'm going to come out later and take a picture. Not right now, I've got too much to do. Time's wasting. I've already had my breakfast. I got it at 6 o'clock. I was hungry. And need a cup of coffee. I need to get this posted. And then I need to get daughter to school. I need to phone the other daughter in. Then, probably need to go to the grocery store. Then, I can come home and work. And I did like living in the bed and breakfast, where they fed me breakfast. I only had to worry about dinner. I didn't have anything to worry about except writing. Welcome to the real world. Ah, well, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. I'll talk to you then.